Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry podcast. My guest today kind of threw me for a loop in the best way possible. I don't typically prepare for my podcast. I go into them cold. I like the sort of organic development of conversation. This guest was a circuit court judge in Biloxi for 16 years, so I spent time looking up case law, which I felt might be fun for discussing. I investigated his background as a judge. I prepared to have a discussion focused on legal subjects. As we began, I realized it felt as though while being a judge was a rewarding career, he had other passions he was eager to chat about. This was the loop. We ended up talking primarily about competition cheer. My guest today is David McVeigh. As stated earlier, David was a circuit court judge in Biloxi for 16 years. He also owned Jaxco, a cheer squad in Jackson County, Mississippi. For those of you who don't know, I used to be on a competition cheer squad. I did 1 year on a team called Coast. It was a blast. I would leave football practice to go to this competition cheerleading squad. While not traditional for men to be on those squads, I wasn't alone. There were actually other football players who came. The benefit for me was just kind of the tumbling. I didn't want to do any of the dance. I just wanted to kind of tumble and, you know, stunt, you know, hold the flyers up and whatnot. But I really credit that to all the tumbling, to increasing my explosiveness in football and basketball, which also enhanced my body control. David and I talk about competition cheer, and I forget how much we both enjoyed it. David recently started a gym back up, and he holds adult tumbling classes. I tell David I'm going to stop by on the podcast, and I definitely held up my end of the bargain. On my first day, I did more tumbling than I thought I could, and it was a lot of fun. David is a perfect example of those people with passion that I want to talk to. The way he articulates his love for all things cheer is inspiring and aspirational. There is a genuine love there. Before we get to the show, I want to tell you that his building was getting pressure washed on that day, and unfortunately the sound forced us to cut the episode a bit short, but I'm eager to get him back on for a longer conversation. And also, and this is my mistake, a TV could be heard slightly in the background. Apologies for that, y'all. As I used to tell air traffic controllers I trained, don't be sorry, be better. I'll be better for y'all. Everyone, please welcome David McVeigh. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry podcast. Today, I've got a really, really great guest for you. His name's David McVeigh. And David, if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a bit about yourself.
Starting how far back? Guess I go way back.
I know that you had a career in law, you know, prior, yeah. Right? So what got you interested in that?
Okay. As far as being the justice court judge, when I got out of teaching, I think I always was interested in actually becoming a representative. I really was.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think it's because the interest in government and history and all that. Mm-hmm. But I actually was researching running for state representative because the person who was there, I don't remember who it was retiring.
Okay.
So it was an open position.
Sure, sure.
So, and then about that same time, I got all three of my sons came with me and they were young. Mm-hmm. So it was, when it happened, I couldn't, because I couldn't be gone, because they're all middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. So I realized I couldn't be gone January, February, March,
right,
every year. So I kind of pushed that aside, but I ran, a friend of mine was a justice court judge. She was a friend of my mom's. She actually went to school with my mom. I ran into her sometime in that period of time I had gone to a friend's whose husband had passed away. Mm-hmm. And she started talking to me about running for justice court judge.
Okay.
And I said, well, I'm not an attorney. I've never been to law school or anything like
yeah.
that. And she said, you don't have to. She said, it's like the old justice of the peace. It's elected. And, of course, once you get it, you have to go training. You know,
like yeah.
we
yeah.
had a lot of training. So, and it was an open position also. Judge Bogier was retiring.
I think I know of a Judge Bogier. What year was this?
2000.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're thinking the same person then.
Yeah, yeah. You would know his kids or his...
I went to school with a couple of Bogiers.
Yeah, some of those are... Yeah. But anyway, so I... it was an open position, so I ran for it. And it was, there were three other people in it. And I won by like 70-something percent first time.
Really?
Yeah. And
what'd you do to campaign?
Signs and door-to-door and, you know, and yeah. I actually did commercials, too. I did some commercials, even with this force. I still did commercials.
It's all good. It's all good.
But, yeah, it was, and then, I just, like I said, I did it for four terms, and then got...
So
I'm done.
So what do you... what are the cases that you typically see?
So, Justice Court Judge, we do... probably more than any other judge. I mean, honestly.
Okay.
Because most judges specialize and their cases are spaced out. Just court judges, we can hear anywhere from 60 to 100 cases in a day. Now, granted, that's how many is on the docket. But we do anything civil under 3,500, you know. Okay. And again, that's been four. I retired in 16.
Okay.
So there's been, that could have changed some things. But basically, we do civil under 3,500. So anybody suing each other, they can come without an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything with the sheriff's department, fish and wildlife,
okay,
all those kind of things. So
interesting.
A lot of DUIs and a lot of domestic. That's probably a big, big part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Are those domestic issues kind of fiery at times?
You know, they are. They were for me because I was. I just remember several cases of, you know, women coming in and saying, oh, well, he, you know, he molested or something like that. Well, you know, I said, this is just all brand new. Like, you've never gone to the police. No, no. It's just, I've just realized it since we've gotten the divorce. But those kind of things really fired me up.
Yeah.
And I.
So kind of emotionally charged.
Because that's a catch-all.
Prior to the issue.
It's a catch-all in a custody. It really happens a lot.
Yeah. You know? That's unfortunate.
It is. And I've been through enough to know.
I gotcha.
Lots of life experience. That's really, honestly, as a judge, I just thought my job was. Which I liked it. There's a lot of power. Mm-hmm. But the what I liked about it was I had the power to help people that I couldn't have helped before.
Yeah.
And like a lot, especially young people that came in with issues, I tried to kind of steer them on the right path and give them probation and do things like that, you know, things that would help them. And there was one time I had like 15 prisoners come in, and I had to disposition all their cases. And when I got done, they stood up and clapped for me.
Really?
Never in my life even heard of that. But it was a cool thing because I told them, I said, you know, I when I'd open up, I said, you know, let me first tell you that you see these officers, you see these attorneys and all. Mm-hmm. None of us, including me, are better than you. We just make better choices. And when you realize that, you can get yourself out of this situation.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know, it's you know, the idea of, realizing that you do have the power to sort of have the alchemy in your own life to make choices as long as you just kind of take control of it. Now, of course, there's probably an argument there that it's maybe a little easier for certain people, through their environment
and
their upbringing.
But. There's always going to be there's repeaters.
Everybody, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
We always have regulars.
So. Yeah. But, I gotcha.
But I like that, and it is a lot of power. You can put someone in jail for a year like that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that part that I like. I like that there's someone who needs help. And if, in the past, I wouldn't know what to do. But I had the power to get them on the right path. So mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. That's what I liked about it. I don't really miss. It's a lot of stress. It was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
But
Did the election cycle affect how you did your job? Because that seems to be something that, you know, and this might be just kind of glamorized by television, but you watch shows like Law and Order, and they're like, oh, well, it's an election year. They're going to be more hard or something like that. Or
in my case, I don't think so. I don't think we did on our level. You know, they said we're the rubber meets the road. We see every Justice Court judges see everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get Chancery and Circuit. They deal with money cases or bigger cases.
Mm-hmm.
But we get the really bad off people. That was what we deal with a lot. So,
yeah.
So really, I never looked at it like that, you know, and I know as far as me being as fair as I am, I'm very fair. I'm just not like that kind of person.
Yeah.
But I had people come to my parents back in the day and said, yeah, I don't like him because he ruled against me. And I said, you know, because their story is just one half. I said, you didn't hear the other half.
Sure.
And not that they're wrong, but in their mind, they believed they were right. But they really weren't.
I was having this thought on the way over here that kind of reminds me of this. And it's this idea about, you know, what sort of objective truth is, right?
Yeah.
And as a judge, you're kind of in the position where you're trying to find it. And you're sort of the...
It's not always... I was never... I mean, there was always doubt. I think I just did the best I could because that was my job. Someone had to make a decision.
Yeah.
And I think I did the most fair thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And being able to leverage life experiences too to shape your perspective. And
I think a lot of it comes down to that. But let me tell you something. There were lawyers that came in there that I knew more than. You know, they were, you know, fresh and young and all, but, you know, they would ask me questions. I had judges who'd been there for years call and ask me questions about being a judge. And
really?
Which is flattering. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, again, I mean, it's this, there's this, this paradox in philosophy and epistemology, the sort of study of knowledge, and it's about truth. And the idea is like, imagine there's a field, and then the field is a hill, and out there in the distance, you see something that looks like a goat. You say, that's a goat in that field. Mm. Then you get closer and you realize it's not a goat. It's a donkey. But behind the hill, there was a goat.
Right.
So are you right or are you wrong? You know,
yeah,
was that truth? Was that knowledge? You know,
so. I've never been one of those people who would say, yeah, I know this is what it is.
Sure.
I've always been that person that goes, I'm pretty sure it's this, but you know what? If you can prove me wrong, but I'm not going to just say, yeah, I know I'm right. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah.
You know?
I gotcha. Well, so you did 4 terms, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I
did. And why'd you decide to hang it up? Well, first of all, how long are the terms?
They're 4 years.
4 years. Okay.
So the last race I won, I won't go into detail, but I did get beat. Mm-hmm. But I got beat by the son of someone who had been in there, who had been a representative and he basically got in on his dad's name.
I mean, sure.
And he beat me in the area that his dad was from. It is politics, but it was the best thing for me because at that point, my dad was getting, he had dementia. He passed away this past January.
Yeah, so.
But, I was helping my parents a lot. I was really deep into the gym, and I was going from there, and I was having to be at the gym at 3 and 3:30, and it was hard.
Yeah.
So it really worked out good, because when I got my retirement and Social Security, I almost claimed the same amount of money. I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, just school judges are not the highest paid by far. You know, so. But it was good. I mean, and it came at a perfect time, and I just rolled right on into the gym, and I've been doing that a lot.
So we should tell what kind of gym.
Okay, so it's a cheerleading and tumbling gym.
Okay.
And I cheered in college. I was a cheerleader at Southern Miss.
All right.
And actually, it's funny, but the traditional chant that they do, I made up.
Really?
Back in the 70s. late 70s.
That's interesting.
Now they, it's funny to go to the game and the whole, that they've been in, the whole crowd will yell at with cheerleaders. They even teach it at orientation, I was told.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny. But
look at you.
Yeah,
leaving
yeah.
Leaving your mark on the college.
I know, I did. It's like, and you know, that's been a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I got Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So
basically what we do is we teach kids to tumble. We also teach them, we have cheerleading classes, and basically that's to help them learn how to try out for cheerleader. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. One of the most rewarding things I've ever done is this. it's just kind of like being a teacher. The years I taught school, I love working with the kids. I love that. It was just so rewarding, and because I try to make everything like hands on and relatable.
Right.
But so the cheerleading is kind of the same thing. You can take these kids. You see these kids all come in. I've had so many come in, shy little girls that just could not do anything.
Yeah.
And you know, by the time they finished high school and stuck with me, they were homecoming queen. All these Miss what had high school, everything, and head cheerleader, and they were awesome. And a lot of them went on to college cheering and got scholarships. But it's when you see, and I don't like the part, every time a girl makes it, especially like in seventh grade or something, and they're young, I always tell myself, let me just tell you something. I'm glad you made it. You know, you worked hard. You got it. It's going to be a lot of fun, but this is your sport. It doesn't make you any better than anybody. And as long as you keep treating everybody the same, no matter what they do, you're gonna have a good life. You know, you'll have a good career in cheerleading career, and you'll still have friends. Mm-hmm. But don't think just because you may have a few girls who think they're better than everybody else, and they're not going to be popular in school. They're not going to be happy in school.
Yeah.
But the things that you do as a cheerleader will carry on and help you through college, and they'll help you get jobs because people. People, when I interviewed for jobs, they loved the fact that I was a cheerleader because it showed that I was outgoing, I was a leader, getting used to, you know, being in front of people. The kids, these girls that are cheerleaders in high school, they get the sorority they want usually because that's just a big thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. I think his name is Bob Keller. He was the CEO of Southwest, and he was notorious for hiring. He wouldn't hire people that were flight attendants before.
Yeah.
He recruited Division I college cheerleaders to be flight attendants because they were very outgoing, and he had this spirit of like, you know, he wanted his customers to have an enjoyable time. But that's a true story.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
yeah.
But it is cheerleaders are when you're a cheerleader, you're just a different breed of person. And you know, I was in a fraternity. I was president of my fraternity at Southern. And when I got into cheerleading, I kind of got out of fraternity because that became my fraternity.
Yeah.
And when I got married the first time, I had seven male attendants and five were cheerleaders. And only one was a cheerleader on my wife's side. You know?
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, it's just, you know, it's just because those are my friends and I'm still in touch with everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. What is it about what you do that you think contributes to the success of these young ladies?
Confidence.
Okay.
If there's one thing I can do, cause you, most of these kids come in, they have no clue, you know, they have no idea how to drop shirt, where to start. The parents don't know.
Right.
And even if the parents know and we're a cheerleader, kids don't believe them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I have so many, many kids who I taught their parents. And that's the cool thing because now I have these grandmothers bringing their grandkids who used to bring their daughters. Because, you know, when the moms are working, the grandparents, I see a lot of grandmothers who I used to know as mothers, you know?
Yeah.
But over the years, I've got my own technique. I've really developed my own technique as far as how to learn to tumble.
Yeah.
It's different, but the kids learn quick. And cheerleading, it's about like gymnastics. You have to have a perfect cartwheel, perfect basics before you move to the next level.
Yeah.
With cheerleading, you need to get your tumbling now before you try out.
Yeah.
You know, so you really want to push it. So I've gotten to develop a technique that I teach, and everybody that teaches with me is basically learn the same thing, and we do a lot of hands-on. You know, a lot of gyms you go to, they just didn't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't hold them in a handstand or grab them and help them around, they don't get it.
Yeah, there's that. That's super important. I mean, it's not something. So when I did cheerleading,
I remember now,
and tumbling.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine learning just trying to convince somebody to throw a back tuck. And because of how dangerous it kind of is, like you really have to be there, you know?
Right. Well, and I've learned over time now, I can watch, I tell these kids, I know more about what you can do than you do. And it's true.
Yeah.
I've had moms say, you know, it's weird, but you just said this one thing and she fixed it. Now she can do it.
Yeah.
I said, it's just, I've done it for so long.
Sure.
But I was in the gym the other day and this lady came in to sign up for child when my nephew, my sister's, the gym I had, is I don't have Jack's Club right now. I'm going to probably reopen another one. But my nephew took over they took over the gym I had because I really wasn't teaching. I was just doing like one-on-one classes and I didn't want to, it's a lot of paperwork, a lot of headache.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said, "What's your last name?" And I said, "McVeigh." And she goes, "Oh my God, you're famous." And I said, then I started laughing. I said, "Famous?" She goes, "Everybody knows you. Everybody loves you. Everybody wants to learn from you. Everybody in cheerleading. You're famous." I said, "No, I'm just old because everybody, I mean, you're around.
Been around.
When you're around so long and everybody knows you." But she said, "No, no, they all, your name is like it."
So, yeah.
But I have a really good, you give me a girl for a year, she's going to make cheerleader 99% of the time.
Yeah. What do you think stops the 1%?
It's them.
Them. Yeah.
It's how they do it, like how they perform when they get on. Because, you know, we started this 2 years ago. I started this cheerleading tryout class, and this has been good because this is what I was doing in my one-on-one. And so the first year I did it, we had 9 girls in it. Every single one made cheerleader. And because what we do is they would start working on all the basic skills. And then after about a month, they start trying out in front of us. Mm-hmm. And they get a score sheet every week. And we correct them. And every week, they would have
to try. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so by the time they tried out, I'd have them make it. And they come back and go, "I wasn't even nervous. I did the same thing I've been doing for like 6 months."
Yeah.
And it really, really, really makes a huge, huge difference. Oh, but I do that in my private too, though.
Yeah.
But I also have my own technique for jumps and,
yeah,
you know, making them higher and better. And I've had, just the last couple of years, I've had parents bring their kids and go, "I saw what you did with so-and-so's jumps. I want her jumps just like that." I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know. But it's true. I said, "Give me time. You know, don't bring me your child a month before a tryout so he's never done anything."
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got kids who have been working, you know, but I need at least a year.
There's you're throwing your body, and you have to know how your body moves in motion.
Exactly.
So you can't. It's honestly the same thing. Like, there's a lot of parallels in this, and say like golf. Like, I've got buddies who want to get into golf, and I say, and they ask if I know a good instructor. I said, don't bother. Spend a month at the range. Right. Learn how your body moves in motion, and then an instructor will be able to tell you what to do, and you'll know how to move your body, make that small change in motion.
I'm going to tell you, though, I was saying about that adult tumbling class. That has been the most fun. And because these are girls, and they range from their late 20s to 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And
late 40s.
Late 40s.
Yeah.
Grandmas, a couple. But anyway, it's to them, it's like, these are my, and this is what they tell me after they started coming, "This is my time. I get to do what I have always wanted to redo, but I was embarrassed to do." Because I, you know, over time, over the years, I'd have former kids come and say, "I want to tumble. I just don't want to do it with all these little kids." Mm-hmm. And I thought, it'd be nice, but I just don't think you're going to get a lot of women to do it. But it's amazing. I've got about 8 right now.
Yeah.
And from different schools and different times, and they have different techniques that was the style. Then that's the weird thing you see.
I bet that is neat to
it's
see.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
But and they're starting, you know, like my kids from past school are meeting the kids from Ocean Springs, but they're different generations. But they're all doing the same thing. And it's for them, it's like getting to be a kid again.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, one of them last night, she didn't come to class, and she texted me and she says, "I'm just tied up with work. I can't get away." I said, "You know what? I'm sick of this adult stuff. Tell your mom to get you a doctor's excuse and come here right now." But that's it is, I mean, which is back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, these are kids. I taught every one of them since they were young.
Uh-huh.
And so now all of a sudden I'm teaching them again, and it's just the most incredible experience.
Yeah.
They're getting to relive it. But the thing is, it's not just tumbling. It's not about that. It's they do jumps. They do. Kelly has made up a cardio dance that they're going to have to. They're learning, and for cardio, they're going to do like 10 minutes. It's going to have to repeat this 5 times. It's kind of hard. It's going to get faster and faster.
Yeah,
they do a jump drill and kick drill music. They do all the handstands. They do box jumps. They do push ups. I mean, we do. It's actually an hour of strength and conditioning and working out, but they do it the way they know.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is what the ones that have tumbled all their life. And been cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So they do everything just like when they were cheerleaders, like a class.
Well, you know, when I got into it, I got into it for for a girl, but I quickly realized one, it was just really incredible.
Yeah.
You know? But I was able to dunk a basketball after doing it because it's so plyometric, you know?
Well, you know, my kids played soccer and football.
Yeah.
And I mean, every one of my kid, I had all boys. You know, you'd think I'd have all these girls because I never had a boy. I never had a I have a grandson.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing but males for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same on my family,
too. Every one of my sons they tumbled. That's all they knew, but it helped them everything. But you know what? I think for guys, it just gives them a lot of self-confidence and body control.
Yeah.
Any sport, I would encourage. And we have boys down there. You know, we had some really good ones. But boys are easy to teach, too. They're not afraid of anything. They'll just throw it, you know.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think the greatest fear is just walking in there.
Yeah. No. I totally agree. That's true. That's true. Because that's a big step.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you're in there. Well, because there's this, it's a gender role type of thing. You know what I mean?
You know what? That's.
And people don't appreciate the sportsmanship of it or the sports-esque.
That you can actually get hurt. That it's dangerous.
Serious injuries too. ACL, MCL, major.
I've had plenty of boyfriends of cheerleaders come in and say, come here, I'm going to teach you about tuck.
Yeah.
You remember, I don't know if you want to know. Kids that I taught, I'm teaching. One of them, her son played football, and last year he came through, and I said, he said, I always wanted to learn to do that. And I said, give me 15 minutes, you'll do it. He's a football player.
Yeah.
And he had it in 15 minutes and we videoed it. You know?
Really?
Yeah, it was just so cool. I was on the beach in Pensacola one time, a few years back, and there was two guys, they're college guys. One was about 6'7", but his friend was shorter, and he was just throwing all these tucks, and we were just talking. He said, man, I always wanted to do that. I said, I could teach you right now. No, give me 10 minutes, 20 minutes. He says, there's no way. I said, I can do that, I promise. I taught him a tuck. He threw it on, started throwing it on the beach.
On the beach?
A year later, I saw him again, and he was still throwing that tuck.
Really?
And I thought and this guy was like foot taller than me. But it's just knowing you can know, I can know what you can do. All I have to do is watch you.
Yeah.
I know what your potential is within just a couple minutes.
Well, that's having that trained eye that you get from experience, you know. And again, I'll go back to golf. Like a good golf instructor can sit there and just look at you and say, you know, tuck your elbow, follow through, you know, or you're out of sequence somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
But
I love it. You know what? I have kept my youth because of these kids. I've kept in shape because of these kids.
Yeah.
Because you know, I've just never really stopped. I did take a break when my youngest got out of it. But he went down to Florida to graduate because he wanted to go to college and where his mom lived. But I kind of got out of it for a few years. Wouldn't even watch on TV. I was like, okay, I'm done. And then all of a sudden, these kids I used to teach were texting me on Facebook and said, you need to teach my daughter. You need to come back and do it again. You need. And honestly, I was just – finally I said, you know what? I'll do that. But just that. Because I had a little building. My mom owned it. I said, you know what? I'll do that, but I'm just going to do that. No competition, no big classes. Yeah. Just work with some kids. And then I ended up in every single bit of it again. Competing, it gets harder as you get older. As far as that part. Now, the teaching, you know, there's, my knees are not really good, but it's because I've spent a lot of years teaching cheerleading and doing cheerleading. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do it, when you're my age and you're still doing it, I know I have these girls who come out and say, they said, McVay is still teaching?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah. Well, and again, it makes sense that it's bad on your knees. I mean, that plyometric motion is very stressful on your knees.
And
I've
done
it for so many years.
I think I have arthritis in one hand, and but I know it's from years of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's that constant flipping. But other than that, I mean, my energy level is the same. I don't feel any different. You know? I really don't. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Whenever we moved out to California, the wife and I, there was this big cheerleading gym that was out there.
Yeah.
And we had talked about going out there just to kind of check it out and see if they have adult classes. Because, you know, once you get older, it's a little harder to keep the weight off. And it's really annoying.
It sneaks up on you.
I know, right?
Because you don't realize it, the metabolism. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to get, like, I've wrestled around with this idea, no pun intended, of, like, getting into jiu-jitsu or something. Yeah. Something that's kind of functional, like the functional body fitness, you know, sort of thing.
More than just exercising.
Yeah, because it's so monotonous get on a treadmill, and it's amazing when you're throwing your body, like, how quickly you shed.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well,
and I'm sure a lot of these women are realizing they are. That again.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they keep coming back, and I'm thinking, you just beat yourself up last week, and you're coming back. But they love it. You know?
Yeah,
I got, like I said, I've got most of them. Every single one of them has thrown a back handspring. I have one who's never even tried it, but one has always took from me when she was younger.
Yeah.
Never really did the cheerleading thing, did dancing, but never could get that back handspring, and now she's throwing it with me. So it's just the really cool thing.
Here's something nuts. I've never had very strong shoulders. It's been a crutch for me. And I've spent time trying to build them. And so I've never thrown a back handspring on my own.
Yet.
Okay.
Telling you.
But I'll tell you something else.
What?
I saw a video recently. It was on Instagram. This young lady threw one, and it was, nobody explained this to me, and it may be nothing, mm-hmm. but when she threw it, I always thought, like, you're bounding back. But she threw it, and she bounded in the same position. And I thought, like, oh, well, that's it. Then it's just throwing your legs.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, man, I would have loved to have known that perspective, like, you know, 12 years ago.
You know, honestly, it's what I teach them. And it's always the safest way. Learn it high. Learn a back handspring high. Because if you jump high, you have time to land with your arms straight.
Yeah.
Most kids get hurt. They jump straight back. Their arms are, they're too low to the ground to straighten their arms. And they hit their head. I mean, that's
so that there was some of that, and I just always associated that with, well, you don't have the shoulder strength. Like,
it has nothing to do with that.
When I was stunning with girls, you know, yeah. I would throw them up,
right.
But I would have a hard time getting from here up. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I could throw them and catch them, but yeah.
But what I teach is power tumbling. It's all from your legs.
I mean,
so like, and it's so funny because I have these kids who they're like. I mean, they're like 12, 13, and they've been doing gymnastics. Well, it's not the same.
It's not.
Totally different. In fact, we have gymnastics down there, and the teachers, we can't cross-teach because they teach different, you know?
Yeah.
But I teach deep in the legs, lots of legs. And I mean, you have to. You are jumping up in the air for 1 second and flipping over. This is, I'm talking about a tuck right now.
Yeah.
But all your tumbling, it's power tumbling, it's all from the legs. Because anybody hits the ground with their arms straight, they're going to hold a handstand. They just, as long as they don't bend them and give up. But once your arms are locked, it's not hard.
Yeah, fair enough. There was a girl who was with Coast, the camp that I was at, and mm-hmm. I think her name was Kylie K maybe. Does that sound
Kyla?
Kyla.
I taught her.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was a very explosive tumbler. And so now I wonder if that's from you. Yeah. Might've been because she was very explosive.
She was very young. Yeah. Her and her sister. Yeah.
Yeah. She was, I think she was the best tumbler on that team, but
yeah, I remember when
she started
with me. Yeah. Yeah. When they moved here. Yeah.
So why didn't you ever, like, try to teach at a school?
As far as coaching?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I coached the Ocean Springs cheer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was a coach there when we went to Nationals in Orlando and Dallas. I mean, we took them.
What years? Because I think it was
finished
Alford
90.
That was the coach at the time.
Yeah, she's the one head coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, she was also the coach of Coast.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
So, I had them from 90 to 98.
Okay.
And but we took them. It's funny because there were years back in then, you know, they picked so many in each grade.
Yeah.
So they would have, like, so many spots for 10th, 11th, 12th grade girls, and then they had 8 spots available for guys.
Uh-huh.
Almost every year I coached, I would have more than 8 guys try out, and they couldn't all make it.
Mm.
When I'd have some grades with just 8 girls. You know, I mean, it was like, but I had the coach come to me and say, can I get some of your cheerleaders? Because I had them working out. They all got big, you know? Yeah. But I had a great program, co-ed program. When I did Jack School, we had an all-star squad. It was an open, which is, you can be in college and high school.
I remember that, yeah.
I had 32 kids, 16 guys and 16 girls. And one of them was the quarterback at East Central High School.
Really?
And he was doing that. And the Sun Herald came out and did a big interview on him because you're the starting quarterback at East Central and you're cheerleading here. I mean, it was just a contrast.
Yeah. And what year was this? Or what years?
It was in the 90s, yeah. All in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure that was kind of a cultural shift too, you know, it's kind of out of the norm.
More so then, but yeah, you know, yeah. Well, actually, let me say back then, Van Cleve and East Central had a bunch of guys. It was just they just went through this transition where they just had a lot of guys doing, they're all big football players. Harrison Central every year has probably 10, 12 guys.
Really?
Still. They have a great program.
It's really, I mean, if you're a male and you get into just like competition cheerleading, tumbling,
right?
It seems like a pretty surefire way to get a scholarship
to college. You know, when I cheered college, most of the guys that cheered in college were high school football players.
Mm.
That either weren't big enough to play or just wanted to change or for some reason couldn't play.
Yeah.
And, so that was a trend. It was just a lot of high school football players cheering college, but got scholarships. You know.
Yeah, and, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's funny when I was in high school. So the money dried up for me to keep doing Coast.
Yeah,
and I ended up quitting football and basketball too. But I kind of still wanted to be around it.
Yeah.
So I became the mascot.
Oh, really? For Coast?
For Ocean Springs.
Oh, did you
yeah.
really?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, honestly, like
so, wait, was it 07, you said?
I got in trouble my senior year, so I couldn't do it my senior year. So 10th and 11th grade, I was the mascot.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed that. I had a blast. I actually thought up until my senior year that I had a real chance of, like, going going to college being a mascot, because apparently that was a thing. Yeah. And then one of the principals at the time was gonna get some school funds to send me to, like, cheer camp,
yeah,
and do the mascot side of it. Uh-huh. But I was deep in it. Like, I was trying to learn how to ride a unicycle. Like, I was trying to get as many tricks as I could, because I thought that that's what it took, and I didn't know. But I remember the principal called my dad one time, and
they get the same scholarship in college that the cheerleaders do, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
And he called my dad and was like, hey, just Mr. Belfort, just want you to know, like, your son's the best mascot we've ever had here.
Yeah.
And my dad was polite, but he told me later, he's like, I was embarrassed to get that call. I was like, well, that's kind of revealing. But
yeah.
but no, it's all good. But yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Again, you don't forget it.
No, no.
But again, you should come try it.
Well, I think I probably will, but the thing that I really miss, so I'm, you know, you get older, you know, you can't move around like you used to, but there's
a
part of it.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again.
I can't.
I say that because you're younger than my sons, and I'm still doing stuff.
Oh, man, I'm feeling the heat here.
Yeah. I know. I have one of the coaches down there. He's 33, and he's like, man, I don't know how much I'm getting old. I said, you're looking at me, and you're 33 and tell me you're old?
Well,
let me tell you something. I said, but he did tell me, he says, you know, knowing that you're still doing this at your age and that you did it younger than me, because I was doing it before I was his age, I mean, it's been, and he says, it gives me hope that I can still keep doing it. I said, you're just as young as you want to be, you know, as long as you're doing it, you're going to stay young, you're going to stay on top of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You can relate to the kids because you're around it every day.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love the influence I have on kids and the changes that you – when some kid learns back handspring or gets their first tuck, or anything, I get more excited, I swear, I think, than them. I'm not lying. It's just the biggest – because I know what's happening. I know how that feels.
There's a neurochemical response there.
It's
called oxytocin. And so you get oxytocin whenever somebody from – like say your group, your tribe, your family, when they succeed, you get a boost of that. So your body is your body is incentivizing you to continue to do that, which is a beautiful thing if you think about it, because your body is conditioning you to say, take care of, develop others, you know, help others because you'll get high from it.
It's just so rewarding.
But that's very cool. But that's the neurochemical that's actually driving that.
And you're teaching me stuff today. Oh,
okay. Well, tell you're me, teaching me stuff, me David. Come
things,
on now.
Tell me a couple of things that I did not realize. I like that.
Well, that's kind of the whole point of this whole podcast. I'm getting more fired up.
Here's the deal. I want to teach you a standing tuck.
Okay. Well, I used to be able to do it, my posture's worse now, so we'll see.
Look, I'm going to tell you, it will motivate you, because these women that are coming, they like stretch now all the time. And they can't wait to come back. They said, this is my time. I just can't wait to come down here every, like I said, I've got eight. Most of them are afraid. There's a lot of them keep saying, I'm going to come, but they're a little nervous about it. But, you know, they all come in and do their own thing. They work their own pace. But they're getting to be that young kid again, getting in shape the way they know best and the way they've always done it.
So. Yeah, and I would argue that their bodies are probably conditioned to getting in that shape quicker, faster.
Yeah, because your body remembers.
Exactly.
Your muscle memory sure does.
And I had a guy on, I think it was, maybe, I forget. I haven't put out that.
You're
that
old. Episodes, you're forgetting.
I know.
Okay. I know. I hate to.
But he reminded me of something that's really true, and we're meant to face resistance. Like like our bodies are designed to face, like we're meant to struggle. You know, that's why we have to continue to work out to maintain who we are. Just the maintenance requires struggle.
Oh yeah.
And so I think there's something great about what you're doing with these adult classes, because people are coming in and they're getting to struggle in a way that they remember, that's fun for them, you know, and they're also getting the sort of biological effects of that, you know.
Well, a lot of them have said, you know what, this is my bright spot. This is something I never thought I'd get to do again. And now I'm getting to relive it all over again, but I'm getting in shape by doing it. And it's so good for here, for their mental state. And every one of them told me that.
Yeah. Well, I think any time that you can transcend yourself, it's good for your mental state.
Yeah.
You know, and especially revisit somebody.
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah. You know, so Zach posted on Instagram some time ago. He was on a springboard and he did a round off back tuck.
Yeah.
You know, with the caption, you know, as you can imagine, Zach was still got it, you know.
Yeah.
But I saw that. It and was I think down I shot there. Him a message.
It was down really? There. I think it was at our gym. I think.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there, but I think he did.
Yeah, I shot him a message and was like, man, I got to get back into this. I got to find a way to do this, you know.
Well, you know what's so funny? There's so many comments on Facebook of who haven't come yet saying, I need this in my life.
Yeah.
And which is kind of cool. Like, I need this in my life. And I think they do. Because one of them, mom said, you know what? I don't get any attention at home. This is my. I said, you know what? I'm going out. These 2 hours a week are mine. Just for me. And they get down there. And there's gymnastic equipment. So a couple of them have been gymnasts. So they're working on the bars and the beams.
Really?
Too. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it's the end of the night, but it is my favorite part. I don't know why. Because I taught them all as kids, and now I'm teaching them again as adults.
Yeah.
And it's just really neat.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it.
I never thought that would take off. I never, but you know, it's honestly a whole program that could be developed and taken. I mean, because when you do your cardio is to pump or cheer dance.
Yeah.
And it's the new stuff. It's the new moves that they're doing today. It's the music today. So it's quicker. And so, you know, you got to get with it.
Yeah.
And several of these have kids at our gym, at the gym too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but go ahead.
I was going to say, it's probably really great for the kids, too, the kids that do get to, you know,
the ones that watch them?
Yeah.
Well, there's our competition squad, our seniors practice, and they'll watch these moms do these, like, toe touches and a couple grandmas, and they're like, oh my God, mine don't look like that. But I said, you know what? That's because I trained them, and they're still good. Once you finish with me, you'll still have it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think there's something to also, maybe as these, young boys and girls, they kind of struggle with something, and they see their parents like kind of struggle too, and pushing through it and achieving it. I think there's something to that.
I told some of the moms, I said, you know what? Even if you've never done it and you want to, always want to, the more you learn about it, the more you can relate to them and help them. You know, I have kids all the time will come up with their moms, and they said, and the mom was like, moms that I taught, they said, I have told her and told her that. And I said, and I look at the kid and I go, you know where she learned everything she's telling you? They said, what? I said, from me. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching you, so do not think they're going to tell you the same thing I'm going to teach you.
Yeah, exactly. It's
the same thing, so you need to listen to them. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a common thing. I mean, I remember growing up in sports, you know, my dad would give me feedback on basketball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was, I think 10 years old when my, 12 years old when my dad stopped beating me in basketball. I'm still a fairly talented basketball player.
Look.
And so I had it in my mind that, like, you can't do what I can do, so why would I listen to you? And it's such a cocky thing, and now I despise that sort of thing, you know?
Oh, look, when I had my all-star squad, the big co-ed, Corbin was on it, and Destin.
Right.
Corbin argued with everything I did. We butted heads. And half the time, he just did it just because he didn't want to listen to me. But after I taught them all these things, when they learned it, it was like, I taught myself. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. So I know. So these moms, I tell them, I said, I understand, because my kids don't listen to me. Even in coaching, if Dustin and I disagree on stuff, it's like, if we do, it's like, no, this is my technique. This is the way I do it now.
Yeah.
You know? So it's fine.
So what's your gym called?
Well, Jaxco, like I say, I don't have Jax anymore, but the gym that I'm at now is, you know, Gina, my sister. You know, Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Their mom.
Yeah.
She's the nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm.
Right.
She, I sold it to her.
Okay.
Because her nephew, Jordan, was involved, and he's just real creative, and he had the time, and he was working for me anyway.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of took over. It's called Bow and Arrow Cheer Gym.
Okay.
But Bow and Arrow, because of the stunt. The bow and arrow stunt.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little girl last week. Two girls came and said, so you teach archery here? And I said, no, why? we don't have archery. Where would you get that? Your sign says archery. I said, no, it doesn't. We don't teach it. I said, show it to me. And there's an arrow in it, bow and arrow, because that's just the little.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
But it's called bow and arrow because there's a stunt, a co-ed, some bow and arrows. But actually, not just co-ed. Anybody can do it. But that was just the reason that Jordan named it that. So
I like that. Where's it located?
Right now, it is in Goshen, and it's right behind the Goshen Commerce Center and the Hancock Bank.
Okay.
But the one I actually moved down there and opened it, and that's when we kind of transitioned it over to her.
You've always kind of been in Goshen, though, right? I mean, when the mall was there, you were in the mall. Yeah.
So when we were, Jaxco All-Stars, when we moved in there, our rivals used to make fun of us and call us the Jaxco Mall Stars. Do you remember that? It was
kind of, it was kind of sad.
It was kind of, they used to say, oh, yeah, Jaxco Mall Stars, which is really funny, actually. I thought it was. But, those kids would practice in the mall, and you'd have 100 people standing there watching because they'd be shopping.
Yeah.
That's when there was a real mall.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when I opened originally, I opened it next to Gina's clinic, Fountain Blue Urgent Care. I don't know if you know what that is.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
If you're going on 50, right before you get to 57 on Highway 90, going to Goshen, it's right there. It's probably the last two buildings you'll see.
Really?
But my mom owns all that property. But they're building, they've cleared land. They're going to build a brand new gym back there behind her clinic. So it's gonna be really nice. And
okay,
but so right now they're just leasing that building.
Interesting. So are
I'm gonna go there. I'll still be there with them, but I'm probably going to open another Jaxco gym and probably if you go, are you still? But probably up one in Pasco, because there's nothing over that side of the county, nothing at all. And I would say half my kids that I teach come from Pascagoula.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting.
A lot of Resurrection kids, a lot of Pascagoula High School and, yeah, and Calmer kids. So,
well, cool. Cool. So where'd you get the name Jaxco?
That's a really good question. Nobody ever realized it. Jaxco is an abbreviation for Jackson County.
Is it really?
Uh-huh. If you ever see J-A-X-C-O, it's Jaxco, meaning Jackson County. And then Harrison County, it's Harco, H-A-R-C-O. You ever heard that?
No. No.
So I wanted it to be Jaxco because it's a different name, but it also represents the whole county. Because we have kids from Biloxi and Mobile, coming, mm-hmm, you know, and George County. And so we got them all from all over. But that was it, Jaxco, Jackson County All-Stars.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
You know, most people never get it. I just assumed, you know.
Just assumed that people understood.
People always say, if they don't know, they say, oh, Jaxco. And I said, there's no extra A. It's Jaxco, Jackson County with an X. Jaxco. But it was always catchy. But everybody thought we were from Jackson.
Yeah.
Or Jacksonville, if we competed.
I thought that there was some sort of origination from, like, say, you know, Jackson or something like that.
Yeah, but, no.
Okay.
But I think the next one's going to be Jaxco McVeigh Chirantomo.
Okay. Go put your name on it.
Can't get that. Yeah, because you know people know the name.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm famous. That's what that lady said. So why not?
Yeah. So what was it like being a cheerleader whenever you were younger, like, say, in America, like, because you were in college in the 70s, right? Uh-huh. What was that like to be? Your words?
I know. You know what? My best friends are still over there.
Yeah. Well, what was it like? I mean, you know, to be a man doing that, like, was it?
It wasn't a big deal.
Okay.
Not in,
because it's also Mississippi too. It's,
right. You know, yeah, but in college, it was a big deal. I mean, because I missed being Mr. USM by 5 votes. I was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. I was president of my fraternity. I was a cheerleader, but. Mm-hmm. It really isn't the same. When you're in college, everybody's an adult, and the guys that do it are so mostly into the football players. They're very athletic, and
yeah.
So and I think it's more respected in college.
Yeah.
High school kids are a little bit meaner, and so it's a little bit harder. Now, if you're when I was at Ocean Springs and I had them. One of my cheerleaders guys made Mr. OSHS. I mean, you know, and they were all like most hand. I mean, they were real popular. And but if you develop a program that kids come through, that's the program. That's the way it is. They don't see it that way because they see what these kids are doing. When I took my kids to the game, when we went out and they tumbled out, 32 kids all tumbled because I was a coach, not just a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So when we had our practices during the week, you know, after school, they tumbled also every time we practiced. So I had lots of tumblers.
Yeah, there was that was something I noticed with our cheerleaders in high school, and I've got my suspicions, but it seemed that there was always a handful of girls who didn't do any tumbling. And it, they seem to there seem to be connections to you know the program
well
through their parents or whatever
well and you know and
I'm
and
not throwing any
no
you know,
no stones no
here but it just it seems suspect so
I will say this but I, honestly I think what it really comes down to is those girls' parents have the money to get them trained to know all the other skills mm-hmm. because if you look at a tryout sheet if there's 100 points 5 or 10 points is tumbling. The rest is jumps, motions, dance.
I gotcha. So the preponderance of the points are going to go towards.
Yeah, if you've got awesome jumps and you got that, you know how to control the judge's attention, you're going to make it. Unless they put more points for tumbling, which some are starting, more and more starting to do.
That makes sense. I just always felt there was so much talent in say Ocean Springs where there was. You could fill an entire squad with their people.
Well,
that
let
could,
me tell you,
tumble,
Ocean Springs. When they added, they've got I think 38 kids that can cheer to, on that, which is bigger than the dance team. Mm. But the problem is, you can't say anything bad about it because they're all incredible. I mean, all 38, they are all that good. That program has just been developed, and you know, bats since when I used to take them to competitions. So.
Gotcha.
They just don't have any guys anymore.
Do you miss that? Like the
Actually,
all the competitions.
As far as the school or the
or period,
just. I don't really miss the you know, I'm helping with the squad already. Uh-huh. So I'm more into the choreography. Once you get all your stuff figured, I want to help put the routine together, make it flow, make it look good.
Yeah.
But as far as just the basics, teaching all the basics, my most rewarding thing is one-on-one. Just give mm-hmm. me that 30 minutes once a week with that one girl. I get to know them. I get to rejoice every time they do something and yeah. with them and their parents. And they text me as if they make it. I mean, they send me videos of, hey, look what I'm working on.
Yeah.
That one-on-one is my favorite.
Yeah.
You can't get past that. That's
right.
So I do mostly. I don't teach any classes right now anymore. Now, if I open another one, you know, like I say, I wouldn't put it in competition with this one that we're at now. Mm-hmm. So it'd be either in Pascagoula or maybe one over in St. Martin again. I don't know. Maybe both. Who knows?
Were you out there in St. Martin before?
The last place I was at when we moved from the mall, mm-hmm. we moved out in St. Martin for that last year. But like I say, as my kids got out of it, I just kind of lost interest. None of them were involved anymore.
Yeah.
And of course, then once I shut it down, a few years later, Dustin's back and wants to teach. You know, so.
Is he back down?
Yeah, he's here. Okay. Dustin lives here now. Scholar and Corbin live in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. I know Corbin's. He's doing real estate out there, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He seems to be doing pretty well. He got married, didn't he?
No, please. Even if he did, he wouldn't tell me. Today's his birthday.
Okay.
I just realized today's his happy birthday, Corbin.
Happy birthday, Corbin.
I totally forgot. I knew it last night. Yeah. But I woke up this morning. I haven't even thought about it. I gotta call him.
Yeah. I don't think my memory is actually fully, can be recallable until about midday for
me.
Well,
see, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I woke up at 10. So.
Yeah, but well, so how are you occupying your time outside of the gym? Or is it just kind of the gym?
Well, honestly, I'm at the gym every day.
Yeah,
every day. But normally it's from about 3 to like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But so the other part of the day, I'm usually home, or Dustin and I go to the casino.
Okay.
You know, we got lots of free play, so we. You know, and you can't turn that down.
No, it's
there. It's for you.
What's it like at the casino right now? I mean, because
it's really the only difference is there's no one. You don't sit by anybody. You got one row of tables. Every other one has a chair.
Yeah,
and the rest are turned off. But it's not. You have to wear your mask, and they literally will go around, and if it's not all of you, they'll make you. They'll tell you got to cover your face.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
now, the Pearl takes your temperature every day you come in, every time you come in. And if your temperature's not normal, you can't come in.
Okay.
They're the only ones that do that I know of. I haven't been to, I've been to most of them.
Yeah.
But I haven't been to the one over in, I haven't been to Island View. But otherwise, on this side, they're the only ones that take your temperature when you walk in.
What are your thoughts about all this COVID stuff?
You know, my first thought was, for those 4 months we were shut in, I gained about 15 pounds.
Right.
And I actually jiggled. And I was like, that is the weirdest thing in the world. I've never had any kind of thing jiggle on me. But all I did, I wasn't going to the gym. I wasn't doing anything. But sitting here, I got really big into games on my phone, which I said I would never do. I used to go, look at people go, how do you do that? It's so boring. And now I still do it. But anyway, so all I did was cook, and we ate, cook and ate. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And but I think I got it all back off, and I'm trying to work out again. So. I actually, this is a weird thing. I actually started teaching aerobic classes, the old time aerobics.
Really?
And but I took a pause from it because right when school was, it was crazy, a lot of people weren't able to come. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start this back up. But I, you know, I used to have back when I had my cheerleading gym in Goshen, originally, I had that ECA Elite cheerleading. It was like we taught summer camps in like 20 states.
I remember that.
But I had the gym had aerobics and a weight room and had equipment room. We had a knowledge room. It had a free weight room. It had an aerobic room. It had a tumbling room.
Yeah.
Well, so I used to do all that, you know, that aerobic stuff, and I got certified, and that was back when you run, and I would have classes full of women because I didn't do the dancey stuff, which is hard for a lot of women. They don't have time to learn all that. They just want to do straight motion exercises. So it was pretty simple, but we did push-ups and a lot of guy stuff, mm-hmm. and they loved it. So I've started doing it, but I've taken a couple of weeks off because when school started, it was just hard to get anybody coming. So
yeah,
but I'll be starting that back up pretty quick.
There's a place on Government Street in Ocean Springs. It's called Rock You. I took a tour of a place because I've been talking about interviewing this guy, and he's installing a gym in there. And basically, he just teaches everything from dance to, you know, playing instruments and singing and, you know, all this stuff.
He's multi-purpose.
It's a really impressive building.
Where?
It's on it's on Government Street in Ocean Springs. He has people flown in, kids flown in from all over the country. He used to be a Disney executive. Really does some really amazing work.
Which part of where?
Do you know where I think it's the Bojay Fire Department?
Down.
You know where the Edward Jones is near like the Rouses? You know, like so it's probably a quarter mile to the west.
Out of town. Yeah. It's not really downtown.
Right.
I was trying to think of. I know you're telling me.
Yeah, so they're installing a gym, so that when the kids come there, because sometimes the kids will do like an hour and a half, because they'll do like 30 minutes sing, 30 minutes dance, 30 minutes with an instrument,
right?
And so they're putting in a gym so that the parents can kind of knock out two birds with one stone. Yeah. And I wonder, like, you know, if that could maybe work for you, like have a corner there where you can have some equipment.
See, that was the idea.
Maybe charge a premium there. That was
that's always been my idea.
One-stop shop.
Yeah. So the parents have something to do while they wait for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the reasons, but right now I'm so busy. Now Kelly is supposed to help me and maybe start offering some night classes as far as exercise, aerobic type stuff. But because I teach, I don't really have a spot at night that I could teach, because from 3 to 8, I'm pretty much booked, you know, right now. And it's only going to get worse because as soon as football season gets about halfway through, everybody starts coming and getting ready for tryouts. You know, they got to get in those last 3 or 4 months for the tryout.
Yeah.
So I'm doing morning classes. That's what I'm probably going to do just myself.
Yeah.
And that's why we've done a few, but again, it's just right now. It's just until everything calms down. I'm not even going to open another gym until this COVID thing kind of, gets. I mean, I don't know what to think about it. I don't have that fear of it.
Yeah,
I don't know why, and I should. I'm the old person, you know.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm younger. I'm not in terrible shape, and I'm fairly active. You know, the only thing I've done differently is started taking more vitamin D. That's it.
Yeah, there's something. Vitamin D is good for restless leg, and I was thinking. I think I read that, and I'm taking. I have really bad, and I know it's because I'm just busy, and I'm older, but I'm also busy all the time. My legs are always moving. I'm guessing, but if I take that Mirapex, it helps.
Really,
you just have to take it about 4 hours before. Mm. But I mean, I can lay there and just all night.
Really?
I can't sleep because I can't lay still. It's the weirdest sensation. It doesn't hurt.
When did that start for you?
The last couple of years.
Okay.
When I've been really doing more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. I don't want to stop.
About the COVID stuff, I know when it started. I don't know. My thing about it is, first of all, it's an issue that's been politicized that shouldn't have been. You know,
as everything is.
Yeah. And there was a week like in March, in the first week of March, where we're starting to realize, okay, this might actually be something serious.
Yeah.
And it was a non-political issue, and people were just like, okay, we need financiers, this and that.
Yeah.
It seems like it took a week for each side, almost as if they got together and said, hey, what political stance are you going to take? Because we're going to take the opposite.
You know,
it's so weird to me.
I hate politics. Yeah. Everybody says that, and I said, but you're in it for like 20 years. I said, I hate it. I just think it's just dirty.
Yeah.
I believe in term limits. Anytime someone stays in their 30 to 40 years, they can't be up to no good.
Right.
I mean, how do you get elected not being a millionaire, but yet after you get out or while you're in there for 34 years, you're becoming a millionaire. I mean, you can't be doing something honest. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion.
Well, and well, I would say by virtue of how many temptations there are, I think there's a statistical argument for the inevitability of you becoming corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, because you're exposed to it so much. So odds are you're going to do
something. So let's get you out every 6 years.
Yeah.
Put somebody new in and they don't have time. But
well, and the thing is, I think that that's probably the way it's supposed to occur. I mean, I think back to like Aristotle's idea of a group of philosopher kings that would rotate in and kind of put their mark on it, to make it a sort of, government of the people.
See, I think, what is the word? Familiarity breeds contempt. I just think that's what people do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, so London has two cities. Did you know this? There's a
Tale of Two Cities.
Well, I don't know if that has to do with that, but but there's like a small city that's within London, and it's marked by like these like crests. Uh-huh. And the mayor of that city is somebody who doesn't get paid, and he has to keep a regular job, but he also has to be a mayor of the city. Yeah.
Like a subsidy.
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind, just make sure you bring the mic close. That's all. It's all good. You can lean back. Whatever's comfortable for you.
I knew you were going to get on to me because I did a couple times. Like, oh wait.
But yeah, it's this whole thing, because the sound's obviously important. So yeah. I'm sorry, but
no, you're good. You're fine.
But yeah, it seems that little city in London might actually have the right way to do that,
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I forget the story behind it, but it's this weird like city within a city kind of concept.
It could be in a lot of cities. You just don't know it,
Well, we could get down the conspiracy theory track here.
There was one in Seattle briefly.
Yeah. That was so ironic. I loved it. I loved every bit of that because it's like the first thing you do is erect walls and arm
in the middle of
armed citizens, and you're complaining that
but you're complaining against the same thing. Yeah,
but you realize like at the genesis of creating a nation, you've got to do those things.
You do.
I mean, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here?
You can't fix stupid. I'm just sorry. You just can't. It's there.
They mean well, and maybe that's their social experiment for their generation. But
I think most of those people who were doing that live in their parents' basement.
Yeah. Well, if that's what gives, if that's what they have to do to give themselves meaning, I guess. It makes me question it for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But have you ever done any international travel or anything like that?
Only because my dad was in the military.
But yeah.
I lived all over. I graduated high school in Hawaii and went to University of Hawaii.
Okay.
The freshman year. And then I transferred back because he got sent back. And I could have stayed there as a resident, but, 3 years on one island's a lot.
Yeah.
But I love that place. I mean, the only thing back when I was there, college football games, you watch them on Sundays because it wasn't like it is now. Mm-hmm. It was a delay. So I would already know the score, and I'd watch the game on Sundays.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would try not to look at the scores. But that's what I meant. College football. I love college football.
Do you?
That is one of my passions. Just don't bother me on Saturday. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to start watching at 11 o'clock. And I'm going to watch till late that night.
What do you love about it?
I think being a college cheerleader, you just.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
You just know that atmosphere and what it feels like and how it smells. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just everything about it.
And
just
the energy, like.
It was just great. But I just love the sport.
Yeah.
Just never was big enough to play it, so I just cheered for it.
Gotcha.
But, that was the thing. I was like, if you love football, you can't play it. What's the next best thing?
Yeah.
Be right down there on that field.
Yeah.
With all these popular girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're right there next to the game. That was the whole idea of getting these guys to do it more and more. It's like, you can't play, but you can be right there. And you can watch the game just on the sidelines. And you still get to get this little uniform and get in free, and they get flown to the games.
Yeah.
What else could you? Why wouldn't you?
I took some heat from a guy who was making fun of me for leaving football practice to go to do the cheerleading.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, don't worry, I'll say hi to your girlfriend for you, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was my constant.
Yeah.
Like, defense of it is that, well, I mean, I get to leave here and go flirt with all of your girlfriends. You're
gonna,
you know, like,
what are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. One guy actually came and decided to try it.
Really?
And I don't know if it was because of that or whatnot, but he you know.
There was a guy about 2 years ago. He played football at Ocean Springs, but his sister came down there, and he would come pick her up. And I said, you know what? I said, you need to come try some tumbling sometimes, you know. And I know he didn't play a lot, but he wasn't a starter or anything. But he played all through 12th grade, and finally got him doing it. And you know, he ended up cheering 2 years at Perk.
Really?
And the only reason he's not doing it, he's at State, I think, now, but he can't do it because he has to work. And apparently, they don't have their scholarship is I don't know. Their mom said something about they didn't have a scholarship for them or something. I'm not really sure about that. I thought they all had scholarships now.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, I wrote about this recently, but there's a type of gene that you have in your body, and we don't really understand it,
right.
But it seems to encode new data into the DNA molecule when the body's under stress and you overcome that stress. So it's as if when you put your body into some sort of stress, your body rewrites your DNA to give you a skill set for that. And in fact, neurons in your brain fire in new areas when you try and learn new things.
Yeah.
So you're literally changing like your mind about things and your DNA, and you can think about this from like an evolutionary biology standpoint, like the struggles that you take to make yourself better propagate your future generations because you pass on you pass on your DNA. And I say that to say also that when you get people to try this new thing, first of all, the biggest benefit for me, you know, being able to dunk a basketball was I learned how to control more of my body.
Yes.
And when I got into golf, because I got into golf in my 20s, I could feel the club and I could feel it move through motion, and I knew how to move
my
body in high speed, you know, like I could do that. I could, and it taught me how to have more control of myself. And I don't think people understand like how much of a game changer that is when you can actually feel your body, your joints, and know how to move them in motion.
Well, and even girls, there's a lot of girls come in there and they have no natural ability. They have no, it's just not something it's meant for them, honestly. But I've taken those kids and made them really good cheerleaders. There's one little girl, and I remember she came. She was like, and she's in the seventh grade. She just made seventh grade cheerleader at St. Patrick. Well, she was not going to do a backhand stand. I can't do it. I'm not going to do a tuck. I'm not going to get up in a stunt. I'm not going to do, I can't do my jump like that.
Well, not with that attitude.
No, but it was more like, it's not, it was like, I can't.
Yeah.
It was always, I can't. Well, now they had a camp for the school and she got the top rank. She was the number one girl at the camp over older kids.
Yeah.
And she's the middle highest pyramid and she's the main tumbler at the school she was the one that it just was not natural for her. She had to work, but she did work, but it was always like, I can't do that. There's no way I'll ever do that. And she's done everything I've taught her to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's
I love those stories.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and they never get old, you know, the story of, you know,
it keeps going.
Self-transcendence.
Every year it's a whole new set of kids and you just watch them and you watch when they graduate and they're like what they've done. And this little girl I was just telling you about, we teach a round off. If you've never done a round off, it's a hard concept to understand. So we teach them to put your hands down and hop your feet to the other side.
Oh.
So it's a hop around. So that's how she started doing hop arounds. And now 5 years later, she's doing round off. Standing tucks. She's in seventh grade. Standing tucks. She's about this big around. Round off tucks. Round off backhand tucks. I mean, now she's starting to work on layouts.
Mm.
This is a girl who did hop arounds about 5 or 6 years ago. That's crazy.
That's interesting.
That is so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm getting fired up talking about it.
I just want you to come And this is what I have a couple went, and they keep saying, okay, I said, look, do this. Come just to watch, wear regular clothes, so I can't say, come try this. And I said, but if you want to keep some in your car that I don't know about, go ahead. And I said, but just come and watch. There's no obligation. Yeah. And even if you do the class, you're not obligated to try this or this. You're going to do, because a couple of them, it was just hard just getting back into doing handstands.
Yeah.
But those same ones are doing back handsprings now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, like I say, your body remembers. And if you haven't, even at your age, you're still young and strong. You could do the thing. You could do everything.
Yeah, I'd like to get into it. I've got an avulsion of my L5-S1 in my lower back.
Yeah.
I'm not making an excuse. I'm just asking, like, I'm framing a question to ask, like, do you know if that's an issue?
I think...
Because when I hyperextend is when I'm at most risk for, like, a series of pain, painful days.
To me, the fastest tumblers are the ones that aren't flexible and can't stretch their back out. So I don't expect you to do a back bend. I don't expect many guys to do back bends. Their back's usually really tight. And are you talking about that?
Yeah.
That, well, when you do a back handspring or a tuck, mm-hmm. the less arch you have, it's actually better. So to me, if you got a girl that's really flexible and a girl that's not flexible, normally if they're not flexible, they're stronger. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
A girl that's flexible can stand there and do a back bend and put her hand straight down the ground without moving. So it's really hard to get her to learn how to jump up and then put her hands down. Mm. Someone who's got a stiff back who can't arch their back a lot, they have to jump.
Yeah.
But so makes sense. So yeah, you shouldn't be arching anyway.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yes. And they've everyone's got some little injury or any issue because they're older, but it hadn't slowed any of them down. And no, I haven't lost one yet as far as, you know, they're still all alive.
Yeah.
They're doing good. They're good. No bad injuries. You know, but they do get beat up. I mean, you know, your body's it's a little different when you get, you know, you're young. You like get up and it never happened, you know.
Yeah, I read that the greatest indicator for like future dependency, like being able to depend on somebody, is your ability to get up from a squat as you get older.
Yeah.
You know? So I try to like almost bound up when I sit up. You know,
you know what's funny? You know, one of the things I've learned over time is when kids fall. You know, and I'm talking about on a mat or something.
Yeah.
Well, they feel pain, so their first thing is they're going to cry a little bit, or they're going to not move. I can't move. It's broke. So I've got all over the years. You just where you just don't show concern.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, you know. And don't get me wrong. I've said it's fine, and then it was broke. You know, but not very often.
Yeah.
But. You know, so you teach that you kind of learn that you just don't communicate that to them at all, and it really makes them do better. But now when you're older, it's different. But see, I'm that kind of person that if I do something and I'm in a lot of pain, I'm going to stand up right then and just see if it's broke.
Yeah.
I was rode the back of a motorcycle with one of my brother-in-laws, and he took a curve and it was going fast, and he missed it. We went, and I'm on the back. All I got is his belt hold on. I mean, you know. And I don't really like motorcycles, but so I thought, well, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he missed the curve and he was going 100. I looked and he said, look, and about that time the curve came up, we went over into this field, hit a big bump, a pile of dirt, and the bike went here, I went here, he went here, and literally flew up in there and came down. As soon as I hit the ground, I stood up. I didn't lay there. I just stand up. That is just a habit with me. And I try and teach these girls. I said, don't lay there being still, because just see if you can move it. Because if you've kind of sprained or something, it's going to tighten up if you just leave it there. But you need to know right out if it's bad or not. So move it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I always teach them. And most of the time, it's not.
You know? I've broken six bones. My last one was it's a dancer's fracture, actually, but it's called a Jones fracture.
Yeah.
But it's the fracture of the base of the fifth metatarsal.
I think
I think the metatarsal is on the foot.
A toe.
Yeah. Well, it's the long bones that lead up to the toe joint.
Yeah.
And so I broke the base of that, and it's a terrible recovery. So it takes like 8 or 9 months.
Maybe it's because you didn't have your ballet shoes on.
Nah. I broke it playing basketball. Yeah. What I did was I went up and came down wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll be fine. This was in 2013.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I just assumed it was like a sprain, so I just tightened my shoe up, you know. Yeah. I was wearing a brace too.
Right.
And then I think what had happened was one of the ligaments that was connecting like my ankle and then connected right
it
there.
It was further up.
It was and so that had torn, so it no longer had the reflex to actually bring my ankle back up.
Yeah.
So like when you jump, you know, your feet drop and then instinctively they come back up to land. Right. Well, it didn't do that. So all my weight fell on that foot.
So
I had like a drop foot condition. So they had to, you know,
look,
got fixed.
That's a cheerleading injury. That was back before laser.
Really?
You see it?
Yeah.
It was bright pink for years.
Huh.
But that's but this arm's stronger than this one. It is. I mean, if I do curls, this is stronger. You know?
I
said if. I have them. I just haven't been doing them a lot lately.
Look,
I'm so tired. I do this all day.
I'm so guilty about this. I've also gained weight during COVID. Here's the thing, though. I got a full home gym.
Oh.
I got a treadmill at the house. I just I don't have an excuse.
I have elliptical in the patio, and I started really good with it. And then I started doing those classes. And said I don't need it, and now I'm not doing either one. It's like. But I have, I sweat, you know, part of that gym down there is not air conditioned.
It's just
and it, you can sweat, you will sweat.
Well, that's good. That's good. I've gotten, I put in a small window unit in my garage so I can get something in there because I've got a wood shop in there as well. Uh-huh. And then I've been doing some podcast recording out of there because we don't want to bring people in the house because of COVID and all this stuff.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, err on the side of caution there.
So now, did you marry an Ocean Springs girl?
Mm-hmm. Mary Willis was her name. She did.
I know that name.
Well, the Willises have been around here for a while, and especially in the, they were big in the music scene and still kind of are, you know, around here. Well, maybe not in the past, like, year or so, but.
Right.
But, yeah. That was weird. Weird feedback.
Sounds
there.
Like the shower.
Yeah. Is that the shower? Oh, is that what that is? Oh.
No, because he would have. This is
there's somebody pressure washing. That's what it is.
Oh, he's back out there.
That's what it is. Okay. It'll be all right.
But I don't hear him out there.
Yeah. Well.
Oh.
He must be spraying, and then it's just picking up the residual around here. Yeah. But, I mean. We've covered about an hour and 20 minutes anyway. So.
I enjoyed it.
Look, we can do this again and again. Sure. This is just a conversation, you know.
Yeah.
And I've had so much fun with it. But before we go, David, do you want to talk about like maybe how to get in touch with you or your gym or anything like there?
Yeah, if they anybody that wants to bring their kids down, they can bring them. The address is 2012 Highway 90 in Goshen, and. And I believe in January the building is supposed to start being built, and it'll just take a few months. The new one, which is behind Fountain Blue Urgent Care on Highway 90, out near 57. But they can just go online and look for B&A or Bow and Arrow Cheer, and they can just show up anytime. Monday through Thursday is the best time between like 5 and 8 or 5 and 7, just to make sure Jordan's there to sign them up and try class. They always let them try class for free.
Gotcha.
Just to try it out.
Well, cool.
And that adult class is waiting for you.
I know. When do you do the adult classes?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, 7 to 8.
And you're probably going to have to expand that.
And that's okay, because we're having the best time. We're having a good time. So.
All right, David. Well, I've enjoyed it.
I do.
It's good talking
to
you.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. All right,
bye.
Everybody, thanks again for listening. As always, we appreciate the support from each and every one of you. If you found value in this episode or you just enjoyed the entertainment, feel free to give us a review and a rating. Also, don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. Check out our website at shopandchivalry.com where we have links to our episodes, a blog, pictures, and other media, and also a way to get in contact with us. Shoot us an email or a message if you would like to be on the show. Finally, follow us on Facebook at The Shop and Chivalry Podcast, Instagram, Shop and Chivalry, and Twitter at Shop and Chivalry. Thanks again, everybody. See ya.